Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Little Richter scale play. Oh. Belton 50, 40, he is gone. Bill Belton 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown. 51 yards into the end zone for Bill Belton. And the Nittany Lions lead it 37-7.
Yep, big day, 108 yards for him, a career high. Career high, 108 for Akeel Lynch. There you go. Tomorrow's exciting extravaganza from Troy, New York.
I mapped it out. Now I know exactly where it is.
Road trip. Yeah,
it's right next to Albany.
Yeah, it's just north of Albany.
That's why they call it Tri-City. It's Albany, Schenectady, Troy. That's why the team's called Tri-City, the Tri-City Valley Cats. They're the Houston Astros affiliate. And what is interesting is that these are going to be two teams that have been affected by the minor league drug testing program.
Wow.
And because Brett Wiley's out for State College. And Michael Martinez, who was second in the league in home runs with 11, out as well, each receiving 50-game suspensions.
And the recap from spikes over the weekend was win both games?
I'm sorry, say that again, Bob?
The recap for the spikes to get to play Troy in this playoff, what did they do this weekend?
Well, they lost the opener 6-5. They fell behind 6-0. They scored 5 runs in the 6th inning, fell short 6-5 in Jamestown. They then came back on Sunday in a do-or-die game and fell behind 2-0 in the 1st inning and then scored 2 in the 2nd, 2 in the 3rd, and rolled home from there, and they won 12-4. Last night in the deciding game, they threw this kid Andrew Pierce out there, who was the 9th-round pick of the Cardinals, who has given up only one unearned run in the last 3 weeks. And he went out there and dominated the daylights out of them. He struck out 7. He allowed a hit. It was a broken bat hit. And actually, he allowed 4 hits. One was a broken bat hit. There was only one hard hit ball. And David Washington hit a 2-run homer in the 1st inning, and you knew at that point that's all they needed. And they won 6-0. In a season with walk-off wins, they've had 8 of those, 4 other wins in their final at-bat. Last night was surgical and workmanlike.
So they are playing for what championship now?
The New York Penn League.
Okay.
The New York Penn League. I mean, it's, you know, the single-A short season championship. That's what they're playing for. They're the Cardinals affiliates against the Astros affiliate, which is interesting because the Astros organization now is made up of former Cardinals front office people. The Astros hired a lot of Cardinals front office people. And the number one pick, Mark Appel, was with them, with this team, in late June, early July. And then, of course, you knew he'd move up through the system, which he did. And he only made 2 starts there. But this kid, Evan Grills, will start for them tomorrow night. Good pitcher. 7-1, 2.54 ERA. But since the All-Star break, his ERA is up over 4.5.
Still, you know, nothing bad there, even at 4.5.
Well, yeah, but nobody on base. His ERA is 1.14. Runners in scoring position, his ERA is 11.5. We've done a little homework here. We've done a little homework on it. So
you're getting ready. You've got the hay pretty much in the barn for this series.
Yeah,
then.
Yeah. And then Arturo Reyes, who's the 40th round pick of the Cardinals, goes. And he had a 2.1.
Sorry, that one confused me. The hay's in the barn?
Well, it means that you've got all your homework done. You're, things are ready to go.
I don't think I've ever heard that saying before. That's a first.
Okay.
The hay is in the barn.
Hay is in the barn.
All right.
And as Steve now is putting the hay in the barn for the Penn State basketball season, no doubt, getting ready.
I've actually done a lot of work on that.
And
I've done a lot of work on the basketball season already, all the way through. In fact, Dick Girardi called me today. We had a long talk about that. Football with Central Florida this weekend. I decided to do a lot of work on that yesterday with the idea that the Spikes would win last night and they'd be a best of three this week. And this is it. This will be the end of it. The latest the season can go is Thursday. That's it. It's done. This is the championship series. There are two teams left. And
the hay's in the barn for the season is what you're saying, right?
The other thing is, now, Steve, you're in Troy on Tuesday. Do you come back to State College Wednesday and then Thursday?
In fact, I'll leave as soon as the game's over. I will leave on tomorrow night and drive back, get back, 2:30 in the morning, whatever that number happens to be, and then I'll do the usual Wednesday thing.
Penn State, 6 o'clock start. Kind of an odd time for a football game, given, we're used to the noon
TV,
3:30 and 8 o'clock. Is it Big Ten Network again?
Big Ten Network, as will the Kent State game, and that Kent State game's at 3:30. So, that's where you are. TV runs the whole thing. When you're kicking in a total of 25.7 million a team, that's where the money comes from. So they do dictate starting times because in the end, sports is entertainment, and sports is a TV show. It's what it is.
Steve,
and you're a TV show.
Steve, I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this, but I've gotten a lot of emails, and we've gotten a few questions along the way. Ryan Kaiser injured in the game. There's no injury report that comes out, but will we hear more tomorrow from Coach Bill O'Brien on the situation?
It's the first thing he addresses in his press conference, so he will talk about injuries tomorrow on the first question. It's always the first thing he addresses, so he will take care of it then.
Is that a strategy by Bill to sort of get that thing out of the way and move on to what he wants to get to, or is that just a sort of a format that's there?
No, it's just what he wants to do. Just get, you're going to be asked it anyway, so just do it. So I think he just does that, and then he moves on to what everybody wants to talk about besides that. And that's just what he's decided to do. That's how he prefers to attack the press conference. Although I'll be frank with you, I have been to one press conference. He's had maybe two since he became head coach. I think that's it. So I'm really there for it. And the reason being is because I have a show I do at 1 o'clock here in State College. And so I'm there waiting. I'll listen to it on the radio. I can hear that. But, that's
– Well, you.
So I'm never there when he does this thing. And I'm never there after the game, that's for sure, because after the game we're obviously still in the air.
Yeah, you get to do your own real press conference with him one-on-one quite often through the season. So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. Obviously, I get. Let's face it. I get all the time I need, to be frank with you. And the most important thing about that is you try not to abuse it. It's only you really try to keep it to a minimum.
Sure.
So you're not abusing the time. In other words, when you do request that you need something, the idea is to have them say, "Oh, okay. If you want something, then it must be important. So we better do it."
Instead of
all the time.
Sure. What is the anticipation for Saturday's game on the campus and in the locker room?
Well, the locker room, I think, knows this is the toughest opponent, the opponent they've played so far. I think on campus, I think they know it's the toughest opponent they've played so far. They just don't know a lot about them. The football team knows a lot about them, but I'm talking about the general mood on campus. It's Central Florida. Syracuse is more of a relatable name than Central Florida is. I think if you were to ask most students on campus what they know about Central Florida, they know that's the team they're playing in Ireland next year.
And it's a team that's in Central Florida. And that's
Right. And George O'Leary is the coach. And Ryan Bortles is a really good quarterback. Storm Johnson, the tailback, is very, very good. I watched the Florida International game on Friday night. Florida International is not very good. I mean, you can see it. They're young. They're not completely organized. As you know, because of youth, coaches are organized, but the team, you just kind of see that they're kind of a few of them are feeling their way through while the veterans know what they're doing. Central Florida is older, more organized. You know, you look at a kid like Bortles, for example, the quarterback, really, really good. I like him. I think he's, he's going to be a tough handle because you can roll him out. You can do a lot of things. He's not a running quarterback, but he can move, and he's tough because he can move. And Johnson gives them really good power, can get to the edge. I like him. I think Johnson's a good running back. And defensively, linebackers are quick. Secondary is pretty good as well. And their kicking game is very good. Their kicking game is very, very good on this team. The Moffitt kid's a really good kicker. They won 10 games last year. I mean, this is a team that, if this was supposed to be the slot Virginia was in. Now, if you were to ask the average casual fan about Virginia, like, oh, good team for the ACC, they're coming in, blah, blah, blah. Okay? I think the average casual fan would probably give that answer, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
But this team is actually better than Virginia is.
And George O'Leary, obviously a veteran coach, he doesn't his coaching tactics don't lose him many games.
No, and George O'Leary is a really good coach. I mean, really good coach. And that's, I think that his hiring at Notre Dame set back Notre Dame for a period of time because they got into that resume gate thing.
That was awful.
You're sitting like, oh, for crying out loud. You know what his resume is? His resume is the 120 games he's already coached or whatever it was at that particular day because he was been at Georgia Tech.
Yes, he did a great job there.
You're sitting there like, what in the heck is resume? Because of some name he put down from how many years ago? His resume? His resume? I just watched his resume play out at Georgia Tech for the last 8 years. I don't need his resume. If he's a guy that's never been a head coach before, I would like to see his resume. If a guy's been a head coach for a long period of time, I don't need to see your resume. I've been watching it. I can see what you do.
And, the real truth of the matter is that wasn't George O'Leary's fault necessarily, but somebody at Notre Dame screwed up.
Oh, somebody got in.
Silliness. Silliness.
It's some crazy, who knows?
But certainly,
all he knows is he ended up at Central Florida. He's done really well.
Yeah.
I told you, the Moffitt kid can kick. There's no doubt about that. They got a couple really good offensive linemen, too. The McCray brothers, who are really, really good. You look at their wideouts. Rennell Hall's really good. Perriman, I think, is good. I like Wharton a lot. I mentioned Johnson already. Bortles, the quarterback. Bortles, a redshirt junior. I mean, this is a guy that already has like a dozen 200-yard passing games in his career. He's already thrown for 35 touchdowns in his career. He's just really a good player. A Plummer at middle linebacker and Mitchell at outside. Not bad. I mean, the two safeties, Alexander and Gethers, really good players. Veterans. I mean, guys that can do a lot of things for them. They give them some versatility on defense. But, when I sit there and I think back on the Notre Dame thing, it's absurd.
Yeah.
I mean, it's absurd. Yeah, there's some problems with your resume. What? Did he use 14 guys in a game against Virginia Tech I didn't know about? What?
Yeah. It's all silliness. But, he's a veteran coach. He's with a great track record. I'm trying to think when the last time Central Florida was at Penn State.
What, here?
Yeah. about, what, 4 years ago, 5 years ago maybe?
Well, Leary wasn't the coach when they were here the last time.
Okay.
Because I think they've only played a couple times. I think the last time, I think it may be as far back as like 2004 they were here. In fact, I think it was 2004. I think it's only the third time they played them.
Yeah.
And when you look at it, like the 2004 team game, I'll tell you exactly what I remember about doing that game. Central Florida came out and wore gold jerseys with gold numerals.
Yes.
And I sat there and went, you have to be kidding me. My first thought was, what marketing genius came up with this?
Yeah. An announcer's best friend.
Wow. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I looked at Jack. Jack looked at me and goes, I don't know how you're going to do this. I said, we'll have to figure it out. But he wasn't the coach then. I can't remember who their coach was back then. I don't remember who their coach was back then. But George O'Leary is now. But they haven't played in 9 years. So
they are going to be a real challenge. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the fun part of it. That's what these teams play for.
Right. And Don Jonas was the athletic director, the former Nittany Lion, who was the athletic director, and I think it was their first coach. And he's the one that got them to Division 1A. And Don Jonas has the distinction of bringing the first Penn State player to ever score a touchdown at Beaver Stadium in 1960 against Boston University. How about that connection?
Wow. That's long and deep.
There you go. Time to take a break. We're brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout.
Like a Ford Fiesta four-door sedan, SEL, $11,995. 2006 Pontiac Solstice two-door convertible, super low miles, only $15,521. A one-owner 2011 Hyundai Sonata 2.4-liter hybrid for just $17,387. 2012 Ford Econoline cargo van, fully serviced, $18,996. 2010 Ford Explorer Sport Track 4-door, $24,352. And a 2011 Lincoln MKX with a 6-year, 100,000-mile warranty, just $34,882. Call 888-536-8017.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24-7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Buhner doing a little shake, rattle, and roll.
I'm just grooving here.
Kevin just doing the roll.
Yeah. I think this was a hit the last time the Steelers had a win.
Oh, you're just so bitter.
And it won't be played again the rest of this season with the way the Steelers are going. Hey, one thing from the NFL, local interest story. Robbie Gould, Chicago Bears, kicked a 58-yard field goal.
Yep.
And the Bears, the Bears won by 3. Longest field goal, I'm told, in the storied history of Soldier Field in Chicago as well.
Yeah, that would be absolutely accurate because the longest field goal in the NFL until Tom Dempsey broke the record down at Tulane Stadium had been 56 yards at that point. Everything else has been, we've had like a couple 58 or 59 yarders. Jason Elam kicked a 63-yarder.
Yep. Was that Denver?
Yeah, in Denver. So, I mean, he did it in the light air. You're not going to get that in Chicago. And for him to do that in that stadium where the winds are really tricky because the stadium is so close to Lake Michigan, it's right there.
It is. And
I think the Shedd's Planetarium, I think, is the only thing further out, or else Migs Field or something like that, right? Because that's where the stadium is.
Right, it's right on the waterfront.
Right by Grant Park.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that, Robbie didn't play the last four games of last season, had to have a little off-season surgery. So this was a real test as to, leg strength, what was going to be the result of the injury. And apparently looking pretty good for Robbie Gould of Lock Haven in Penn State.
No, he's a first-class guy. His brother Chris, of course, helping out with the kickers at Syracuse.
Yeah, I saw Chris before the game in the Meadowlands and gave him the – I hope your brother is cheering for the Lions this weekend, and he assured me he was.
I felt awful on the one botch snap on the punt.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Because Sammy Rogers is the one that made the snap. I coached him in Little League. I sat there so bad, and then I saw his father after the game, and he said, and the son told, he says, I know Coach Jones was announcing the game today, wasn't he? He says, I remember exactly what he told me after I'd strike out. He said, forget about it. You've got another at-bat coming up. He says, I remembered he said that.
Yeah, got the next one off.
Yeah, he got everything else. He did really well after that. But I felt awful because, look, I know him. I wanted him to do well. I mean, he's the snapper, for goodness sakes. I mean, not like I'm out there rooting for the quarterback to throw four touchdowns.
Right.
Okay? You have those connections sometimes.
Sure.
You okay, Kev? You all right?
I'm great. I'm super. Is it true that the winner of the tickets this week for the UCF game will get to join Steve for dinner afterwards?
I think we could throw it in as an add-on.
I can tell you right now, I'm going to be watching Texas A&M Alabama in my living room. I don't know where that person's having dinner, but it's not going to be at my house.
Well,
time now for the news. Bottom of the hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Bell to his left, into the end zone, touchdown, Penn State. Zwinak left side to the five, walks into the end zone, touchdown, Penn State. The Nittany Lions cash in, complimentary football for seven. Steps out of the pocket, delivers downfield, wide open, Robinson, he's got it, touchdown, Penn State. Great job by Christian Hackenberg, stepping up in the pocket and delivering to a wide open Allen Robinson. Lynch to the 15, Lynch to the 10, Lynch inside the 5, dives, touchdown Penn State, Akil Lynch, his first career touchdown run.
Who was that nut?
I don't know. At times he actually sounded like he knew what he was doing, though.
Now, like Lincoln said, you can fool some of the people some of the time. All right. Our number, 800-795-9565. If you're a Steeler fan, is your concern, I would use panic, concern level high, medium, or it's one game, I'll wait and see? We already know your answer is always the same regardless of the topic. Your panic level is always high.
Well, my panic level wouldn't be high if there was some sort of preseason game that you could say, okay, this, doesn't look so bad, but the preseason was horrific. And you can't, and I understand it's the preseason. I know, I understand that. But when you have that first quarter and you have all your guys that are starting, mm-hmm. and you still don't get the ball moved a lot, mm-hmm. it's bad. And mm-hmm. when you see that in the first week of the season, again, mm-hmm. against the mm-hmm. Titans, it's really mm-hmm. bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, Kevin had a roller coaster weekend because Friday night, hopes high at Chickalimmie, and it didn't turn out the way they hoped it with Miffenberg. But Kevin rebounded very nicely Saturday night with Bucknell, and I listened to the bit of the pregame show, very excited, and his Bison, he called a few touchdowns for the team from Lewisburg, and then Sunday, geez, he jumped off the plane without the parachute.
No, I think the whole team did that.
And the team was with him on that one. So he had quite the roller coaster weekend.
Right. Our thanks, by the way, to Tim Neverett, who was on in the second half hour of the show. Tomorrow we'll have Joe Susan on. We'll have him on at 3:35 tomorrow when I broadcast live from Troy, New York. We're also, I think, going to have on Wednesday one of the Penn State football players on the show. Just to have to find out which one I'm going to get.
You've got, 70 to pick from, so you've got a good choice or good variety.
Oh, sure. Oh, sure. I'll just take one. I just walk over and go, you, over here. Yeah. You know?
Anybody here a mass comm major? Want to do a little project?
Yeah, here's an opportunity for you. But I think we're going to have one of the players on Wednesday. So, okay?
Awesome.
All right. So that's what we have so far this week.
It'd be interesting to hear Joe Susan tomorrow because big win on Saturday night. Marist.
Yeah, good start.
Yeah.
It's a good start.
And Kevin heads up to New York State to the Finger Lakes on Saturday.
Next Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah, next Saturday for the Big Red.
Yeah, and
are you going to Cornell?
Yes.
Oh, right at the bottom of the lake there. Very nice.
Very nice.
Oh, that'll be a great test.
And he gets to go ride the car with Doug Birdsong, and they get up there and do their thing from Cornell country.
You know, Doug and I talked about this on the air. I think we've done the game together for 6 years,
right?
And I know he's been there for twice that. He can't remember a time where Bucknell beat Cornell at Cornell. That's how long it's been.
Okay. So,
and this is a really good shot because I thought the running backs looked really, really good. Tyler Smith, Jeremiah Young, they're gone. But sophomore Mount Delmaro looked really good. 20 for 83 in the ball game. C.J. Williams carried the ball 14 times for 42 yards and a touchdown. 50 yards out of Brandon Wesley, some of those on a scramble, some on a design scramble. I mean, the offense really, really looked like it was clicking. The tight ends were a huge part of the offense. It was really nice to see that. Including Josh Lebo, who got a 45-yarder down the sidelines. I mean, Lebo made a move, and the safety just plain froze, and he went just literally walked by him.
This is Joe Susan's team. You know, these are now his recruits.
All his gang, yeah.
Yeah, and you can see the improvement week by week and year by year. And, you know, Bucknell football has been an afterthought to basketball. It may not be when I think this is the season we're going to see it.
Yeah, man, I'm hoping to see that. I think I've talked about this with Penn State basketball for such a long time that, when the football season ends, there is a basketball season. Well, before there's a basketball season, at Bucknell, there's a football season. Fabulous stadium. I love Mathewson Stadium. I love the setting of it. I think it's gorgeous. I think it's a great place to go and see a game.
It is.
And I think and Joe Susan's the right guy to coach them. I mean, there are just a lot of really good things that I like.
Yeah, and it's fun to talk to him. You can just tell, again, he's one of those guys you can tell in his voice just the enthusiasm.
Oh, absolutely. No, I love talking football with him. I just think he's the right man at the right moment for the program. I think they made a really, really good hire a few years ago. All right. 800-795-9565. 800-795-9565. Dick in Milton is with us. Hi, Dick.
Hey, Steve. Hey, I just wanted to tell you, I know you're covering a couple gamuts here with Bucknell and Penn State, but maybe the people don't know it. Maybe you covered it, but Matt Daly, a Bucknell graduate, is pitching out of the bullpen for the Yankees.
Yeah, that's terrific. We did not cover that, by the way.
Well, I'm not sure. You know, it's the end of the year. They bring a lot of guys up. And being an Oriole fan, I really don't. I hope he doesn't do very well this next year. Maybe he won't get in. Maybe it will reach a point where they won't need him. But it is kind of neat that he got that far. He did play for the Rockies for a while, and he's had some injuries. But not everybody locally gets to play in the majors, especially for the Yankees. So.
Well, absolutely not. A lot of people there's a pitching coach for, I want to say, Batavia named Sam Naren. And Sam Naren pitched 9 years in the minor leagues, Dick. I think he had, I think, something like 167 starts in the minor leagues. He had one game with the Texas Rangers, and it was the only game in his career he ever pitched in the majors. And I think about that, and first of all, it's an incredible accomplishment to make it to the major leagues, to actually get in and play. But that's how fleeting it can be sometimes. He had one game.
Yeah, I understand. It's not very many guys make it to that level, and obviously not many guys from the Patriot League make it to play in the major leagues or locally right around here. But anyhow, yeah, Penn State's playing well. Bucknell played pretty well. So things are going pretty well locally here, and I'm still enjoying the show. I actually was over to the MetLife Stadium and saw Penn State over there. So, and that was interesting. Heckenberg's doing a pretty good, decent job as a quarterback for a freshman. I really like. Think he's going to be pretty good down the road here. I mean,
I think Hackenberg so far has handled everything extremely well. I mean, considering everything. I mean, he's 18 years old, and I think you bring the proper perspective to the table, Dick. You said, hey, for a freshman, I think he's doing pretty well, and I think that's exactly how fans should think.
Well, I actually told my friends, I said he did something in the first game against Syracuse that it took some guys years to do. Instead of taking a sack and got close to his own goal line there, he actually threw the ball out of bounds, which for a freshman coming out of Fork Union, the first game in college, mm-hmm. I couldn't believe it. He's done it actually a couple of times now. So, I mean, that kid is thinking when he's on the field. You know?
Yeah, that's a really good point, Dick. Really good point. Yeah.
But anyhow, I just wanted to bring up Matt Daly. I thought it was kind of neat.
Absolutely.
That he's playing over there. And as I say, they're playing the Orioles here now for a couple, four games. Right. So maybe he won't do much. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll find out. But, Dick, glad you're still enjoying the show. We appreciate that very much.
Thanks, Steve. Bye.
All right, Dick from Milton joining us. Our number is 800-795-9565, 800-795-9565. Steeler fans, is your concern or panic level high, medium, or you're in a wait-and-see mode? Kevin, we know where you are.
Yeah, it ain't wait-and-see, I'll tell you that.
Ooh, I'll tell you right now, you're bitter.
You
are bitter. It's like they've done nothing to enhance your life now. Went out, and the jersey burning in the backyard last night, that was a bit extreme.
I did not burn the jersey, but I did take it off at halftime. I took it off at halftime.
Oh, I'm trying to picture that. That's just, ugh.
Not that. No. I removed wearing the jersey and wore something different. I was trying to change the luck, all right?
Thank goodness.
So you think that if you change a shirt, it changes the luck of the team?
It's only crazy unless it works. It didn't
work. Do you walk around a chair a certain amount of times?
No, but there was a time during a playoff game. It was a Cleveland playoff game. I had all my Steeler stuff out. My wife decided to roll up the blanket and put it away, and the game wasn't over yet, and Cleveland scores a touchdown. So from that point forward, she doesn't touch anything during a game now. She has to ask first, is it okay to move this? Is it okay to not have this here?
Okay, let me cue you in on something. I want you to listen to this carefully. Say she did not touch anything that night.
Right.
Okay? Are you with me?
I'm there.
Do you know what the final score would have been?
I don't know, because that could have changed the whole thing.
Exactly the same as it ended up.
That's what you think.
No, that's what I know.
Yeah.
They do a whole commercial now about superstitions.
It's a commercial. They also do commercials about guys standing on logs going over Niagara Falls and surviving. Okay, so it's a commercial.
Can't really argue with that fact.
Okay, yeah. A pig talks in a convertible to a police officer about a taillight out. All right, so a camel walks through work telling everybody it's hump day. I'm sorry, that doesn't happen. It cracks me up when I see it, all right? I laugh hysterically every time. It's hump day, Julie. Come on, Mike. Come on, Mike. What day? You know you can hear me, Mike. Okay. It's not real, Kevin. It's not real. And guess what? If you walk around the chair 8 times, okay, 2 things are going to happen. Number one, okay, the score is going to be exactly the same if you didn't. And number two, you'll just get dizzy.
That's what you think. I don't believe that.
It's not what I think.
You know,
it's not what I think. It's what I know. I can tell you right now, it never would have changed.
I do think the part of the problem was I was wearing my white jersey and not wearing the home jersey. That might have been the problem.
Okay, let me cue you in on something. Do you know what the final score would have been if you wore the black jersey? It would have been exactly the same as you wearing the white jersey.
I don't know about that.
You know, Kevin and Steve, there's a fine line between a superstition.
That's why I always laugh when don't say it's a no-hitter. Why not? Why not tell the people it's a no-hitter? Okay, don't tell them it's a perfect game. Tell them it's a perfect game. Don't use code.
No. So, you can say it on the air. You just can't say it to the guy who's throwing it or in a part of it.
Apparently, the guy who's throwing it doesn't realize he's got a perfect game on the line. So you must remind him. Is that?
No. I mean, listen. As somebody who's had as somebody who's been really close to a 300 in bowling, you don't talk to the guy. I mean, the last thing I want to know is, hey, looks like you've got 12 in a row. No, I don't want to know that. Hey, it looks like you got the first 9. No kidding. Thanks for telling me. I didn't know. Now I'm gonna tank one. Thanks.
Yeah.
Well, if you can't take the pressure, you shouldn't be out there. 800-795-9565. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. You can go to purdyinsurance.com. We'll come back with Captain Superstitious in a moment, who's wearing a beanie cap because he thinks that's enough to put the Eagles over the top tonight on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When you buy insurance, it's serious business. Because if something happens and you don't have the right coverage, you're out of luck and maybe out of business. So if you need insurance, business, home, auto, or flood, ask your agent about Selective. No gimmicks, just great coverage and great response.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at purdyinsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Okay, so as an IndyCar race is going on, and you're rooting for
Marco.
Marco Andretti.
Right.
Do you wear, like, Marco apparel? Do you sit a certain way in a chair?
No, it's different.
Do you drive the same route to Brewers Outlet and back? Or?
No, it's different for that. It's different for racing. I don't have a routine.
Compared to the Steelers.
But yeah, football, I don't know why, but football's different. I have a routine, I have a setup, I have an apparel selection that I have to wear. I mean, you know, I have to have I forgot the terrible towel. That explains it.
That does it.
So
I forgot about it. I didn't realize I didn't have it with me.
A yellow towel.
Don't go to the towel.
Quick, get Mike Tomlin on the phone. We now know what the problem is.
The towel is sacred. Don't go there with the towel.
Do you wave the towel during the game?
Yes. And in the middle of December, my wife leans over, will you please stop creating a breeze in the house? It's cold enough.
You wave the towel in your living room.
You betcha.
You don't have any.
While wearing the proper jersey selection home and away?
Yeah, I wore the wrong jersey this time. I wore the white jersey, and I did not have the towel.
Are you aware if they play at Dallas, you'll wear a black jersey?
Yeah, that's the thing. I was confused.
So you think that they lost 16-9 because of your jersey selection?
Well, hey, when I took the jersey off, they actually scored an offensive point. So, you know, there's a little proof there that I was right.
If you had not watched the game at all and had gone about your business, do you know what the final score would have been?
I don't know. It could have been worse. I can't imagine worse.
16-9 to 6.
I can't imagine worse. Okay. Hey, listen.
Okay. Marquise Pouncey still would have torn his ACL and MCL.
Hey,
that's the worst part. I'm sorry, Bob. That's the worst news that the Steelers could get right now for that offensive line. And if you think about it, the Steelers have had
great player.
Some of the best centers to ever play the football game.
No question. Ray Mansfield, Mike Webster, Dermody Dawson. I mean, they've had some great ones over time. Pouncey certainly has been on that path.
Yeah.
As well, Pouncey's a Pro Bowl guy,
and who looked the most distraught was DeCastro, because he was the one that kind of rolled up when he was making the block, and he was there last year, so he knows it. He knew it, and he just looked he looked distraught.
Yeah,
I was going to ask, any superstitions, Kevin, for the Eagles game tonight on Monday Night Football?
I don't have any, but I do know several Eagle fans that have superstitions of making sure that every Eagles paraphernalia item that they have is in the same room as the television.
Okay, now, is there a certain food or beverage you have to have during the game, a certain order to it?
No, I don't have a certain order of a preferred snack item or beverage.
Is there a certain way you sit, feet up, feet down?
I'm kind of in the reclined position. I mean, but that's normal for me. I mean, I'm always in a reclined position.
So you have to have a certain jersey that's a certain color, and you have to have stuff laid out for you in a certain way.
It's apparel and accessories.
Accessories?
Yeah.
Accessories?
Well, the towel is an accessory.
Okay.
Now, I used to go to the foam I-beam that I wore on my head. I did do that. And when the Steelers were on defense, I would then switch to the Steeler hard hat. But I've gotten away from that now.
You do know you're of adult age now, right?
You know what? I'm sorry. I don't think I'm in the minority. I have seen lots of Steeler fans, and there are people worse than me. Now, I do, if the Steelers are on a winning streak, I do wash the jersey. I do not let it go without washing it. I mean, I am not uncivilized here.
Hygienic would be the word.
Right.
Incredible class.
Yes.
Wow. Amazing.
That would be a great thing. We should bring that up for tomorrow, too. Maybe we'll throw that on Facebook here later on. What is your weirdest sports superstition?
See, he thinks I'm a fun sucker and take all the fun out of the room. You don't need me to do anything with you around.
No.
I mean,
I am everybody's fan, all right? I am every fan.
You are Joe fan.
I wear nothing that is affiliated with anything when I watch
that,
a game.
Okay, when you watch a game. That's not true. And I know you're working, but I know you wear Penn State items when you're watching a Penn State game.
Oh, yeah, but I just rotate through what I got. I don't really.
Oh, so there's no thought in the process is what you're saying?
No.
All right. I'm like, was it blue for home games and white for away games?
No, I wore a greenish blue for the Meadowlands game. I wore a shirt this week.
Wait, you have a greenish blue Penn State shirt?
It's the same one it's where the coach's apparel is.
They're greenish blue?
Yeah. Okay. They're like little stripes in the green background this year.
I have not seen the green in it. Maybe my HDTV is a little messed up.
Maybe, because, I mean, that's actually the color it is. But I don't care what, I mean, it's like whatever is the issue of the year.
So sorry for you.
Why?
You're missing out on a whole world of entertainment. We'll talk more tomorrow about it.
Oh, no, I've got 10 hours of it.